Chapter 3. A Visit to the Dragon Sanctuary. Geoffrey woke up excited. Today was the day that Emma, one of Grandmama's goddaughters, was going to take him to the Dragon Rescue Centre and Sanctuary. After breakfast, he put on his best jacket and stood in the hallway with Widler, ready and waiting. Before long, his patience was rewarded when the bell rang. He opened the front door to a friendly and jolly girl who looked as if she ate hay and enjoyed a good run before breakfast. "Hello, Geoffrey. I'm Emma," she said in a booming voice. When he shook hands with her, as he'd been taught to do, she gave him a grip he just knew would crack a walnut. He liked her immediately. "Now, Geoffrey," she continued, "your grandmama gave me $5 so we could take a cab to Morphic Street. But it's not far, and if we walked instead, we could buy some sweets on the way. What do you think?"
"Oh, yes," said Geoffrey enthusiastically. "I'd much prefer to walk. You never know what you might see."
They set off along Nonsuch Street, past some very grand houses. And as Geoffrey was admiring them, he saw what looked like two ugly stone animals perched on the edge of a roof.
"What are those creatures doing up there?"
he asked Emma.
"Oh, they're just gargoyles," she said. "But if you've got a very big house and a grand piano and a butler and a carriage with your name on it, the next thing is to hire a gargoyle to sit on the corner and make your house look even more important."
"But what do they do?" asked Geoffrey.
"Well, originally they would have lived on the tops of very old buildings, like the Unseen University, where they sat in the gutters and fed off what came through in the water. Now, many of them are purely ornamental and have to have food left out. Some, I'm told, even allow themselves to be painted and made to hold up shields. They're quite harmless, unless you're a pigeon. They hate pigeons."
Geoffrey waved up at the gargoyles as they continued on their way and thought he got a wave back. It was not long before they came to a bridge. Geoffrey was amazed at the houses and shops that lined both sides of its crowded carriageway. Some had small rooms sticking out over the river, and as Geoffrey watched, he saw something fall from one into the river with a splat. He and Emma squeezed between two buildings and looked down onto the sluggish River Ank as it crawled its way to the sea.
"It's a bit smelly," said Geoffrey. "And why are those people in the boats holding up umbrellas? It's not rain."
"Oh, I see," he nodded,
as another splash and splatter reached their ears, and the river was further enriched in its passage under the busy bridge. By and large, all rivers passing through cities and towns emerge a lot muckier than they start out. The River Ank is notorious for its crusted, evil-smelling waters, mainly the result of the inhabitants using it as a drain, occasional burial ground, and a repository for all manners of ordure. The worst offenders are those who live or work along the bridges. Human nature being what it is, if it's a question of paying someone to remove a bucket of poo from your dwelling, or simply sitting above a hole where out of sight is out of mind, the latter option will win every time. In addition, if you're having a bad day, there's the small consolation that you can give someone beneath an even worse one, if you time it right.
"Some people are too mean to pay Sir Harry King to collect their privy buckets, and it just goes in the river," explained Emma, "which makes it very smelly and extremely unpleasant for anyone going under a bridge." She added, "I think they're making a law about it."
"Does Sir Harry collect people poo as well as dog poo?" asked Geoffrey.
"Sir Harry collects everything. They don't call him the King of the Golden River for nothing," she added. "Come along. Let's go and buy those sweets."
They entered a funny little shop with advertisements in the window for Jolly Sailor Tobacco and Gumption Snuff, and a large sign above the door saying sweets.
Behind the counter was the fattest man Geoffrey had ever seen. He had a stubby grey moustache and was wearing a hat with a tassel and a brightly coloured woolen shawl. What really caught Geoffrey's attention was the magnificent parrot sitting on his shoulder.
"Hello, Mr. Thwaite," said Emma. "May I have some of your clatch and delight, please? And what sweets do you like, Geoffrey?"
Geoffrey cast his eye around the shop, which had shelves of sweet jars from floor to ceiling.
"How about some nutty slack, or dragon drops, or if you like, chocolate?" said Mr. Thwaite. "I've just had a delivery of pig pellets for Hogswatch."
"Wonderful," said Geoffrey. "And if I don't eat them all, I can put some in my poo collection."
"Your what collection?"
"I have a poo museum," replied Geoffrey, proudly.
"Well, I never did," said Mr. Thwaite. "You can have this packet of knollberries. Goodness knows what's in them, but I can't shift them for love nor money."
He turned and reached up to a high shelf. The parrot squawked, but continued to watch Geoffrey with a beady eye. As Mr. Thwaite turned, Geoffrey noticed that the back of his shawl was encrusted with bird poo.
"You must be a very lucky man," said Geoffrey, "to have all that bird poo on you. Could I have a bit of that parrot poo for my museum, please?"
"Of course. I like to help a young man with his hobby," said Mr. Thwaite.
And holding an empty tobacco packet, he let Geoffrey scrape the well-dried encrustation from the fringes of the shawl. Geoffrey put the bags of sweets and lucky parrot poo into his pockets, and having thanked Mr. Thwaite, turned to leave. As he opened the door, the parrot suddenly sprang into life, flew off its perch, and did one of those little dances that parrots are wont to do, and then shouted very loudly,
"Now piss off!"
Mr. Thwaite smiled.
"Don't worry, he only says that if he really likes you," he said.
Geoffrey and Emma continued on their journey, and before long they found themselves looking up at the most impressive gates Geoffrey had ever seen. As they stood there, a change in the wind brought a smell of burning and fireworks that hit the back of his throat and made his eyes water. A shower of small sooty particles floated down around them.
"That can't be good," said Emma.
She pushed the gate open in the manner of someone who knew she would always be welcomed, and they made their way into a yard surrounded by a collection of sheds and bigger stone buildings with thick, fortress-like walls. The roofs, however, looked very unsubstantial and in some cases very new.
"Those are the dragon sheds," explained Emma. "If one of the little deers explodes, the blast is channeled upwards. If we're lucky, we only lose a bit of roof."
"What happens if we're not so lucky?" asked Geoffrey, looking anxious.
"Oh, you'll be all right," she assured him. "We've got good protective clothing. It's only the people who forget to wear it who lose their hair and eyebrows, and sometimes their fingers."
They went into one of the smaller sheds, where they met a girl who seemed to be wearing armour from the neck down, and held a large helmet in her gloved hands.
"This is Emma," said Emma. "Emma, meet Geoffrey."
"Hello, Geoffrey," said Emma too. "Let's get you and your dog kitted up."
He was lifted up and lowered into big stiff leather trousers that didn't bend at all, and was given big boots and gloves and a helmet. They even found a small helmet for Whittler, making him look like a snail peering out of its shell.
"Let's go," said the Amazon in unison,
and ushered him from the shed into one of the big stone buildings. At first, there didn't seem much to look at. There was a series of concrete pens with small, grey-green, huddled lumps under piles of sticky ash.
"Why are they all covered in ash?" asked Geoffrey.
"Well, we've not cleaned them out yet, because Lady Sybil can usually tell what's wrong with them from the colour and the smell of their poo. They'll have been eating quite the wrong thing."
"What should their poo be like?" asked Geoffrey.
and can I have some for my poo museum? Well, like I said, in a healthy dragon, there's hardly any poo at all. Sometimes it's just a fine ash that floats away in the air.
When in good health, Draco vulgaris, the herbivorous swamp dragon, produces hardly any waste material at all, because combustion is complete. However, swamp dragons are notoriously susceptible to digestive disorders, and if their diet is not strictly controlled, they can become very unstable. The resulting symptoms range from violent explosions to the production of large amounts of black or green ash. Like all immature creatures, baby swamp dragons are unable to completely digest their food. Draco nobilis, on the other hand, is a carnivore. This species is particularly fond of virgins, but knights in armour are a bonus because they add a certain amount of roughage to the diet. Draco nobilis poo is like that of any carnivore, but if knights in armour have featured on the menu in the recent past, the dragons excrete small tin roundels, not unlike corned beef, but still in the tin, as it were.
I wish I could get some dragon poo, Geoffrey said. I want to get poo from every animal in the world so that people can come to my museum and see it all and be amazed.
To compensate for the lack of dragon poo thus far, Geoffrey was given a baby dragon to hold. It perched on his hand, blowing smoke rings, and then suddenly, without any warning, deposited a small glowing ember on his gloved palm.
Geoffrey couldn't believe his luck.
He closed his fist around it tightly for the rest of the tour, in case one of the interchangeable Emmas decided that Lady Sybil needed to inspect it. When they came to leave, it seemed cool enough to surreptitiously transfer to his jacket pocket. Geoffrey and Emma Wan set off back home hand in hand, with Widler following so close to heel that he was often in danger of tripping them up. Geoffrey kept looking up at the grand houses, hoping to see a gargoyle. They were not far from home when they reached a very grand mansion indeed, with huge curly iron gates and tall stone pillars on either side. His eyes lit up in delight when he noticed that on top of each tall pillar was a genuine gargoyle holding a shield.
"You must get very bored just sitting up there all day. Would you like a sweet?"
Geoffrey said to one of the gargoyles.
"It's more than my job's worth," said the gargoyle, "and I don't get off duty until the end of the week."
The word "said" is used rather carefully here. If you want to know what a gargoyle talks like, imagine having a conversation with a reasonably friendly rock. And if you want to know what they look like, think of those lizards that spend an awful lot of time apparently staring at nothing, and then suddenly there's a movement in the air and something has suddenly become lunch at an extremely fast speed.
"But old Pediment over at number 8, he croaked, "is always on the lookout for interesting tidbits. He's got a sweet tooth too."
"If I leave some sweets on my windowsill at number 5, do you think he'd find them?"
"Doesn't miss a thing. Old Pediment, he clears all the bird tables this side of the road, and I don't just mean the birds' food."
As they walked away, Emma said to Geoffrey,
"You are funny. No one I know talks to gargoyles."
"I want to know where they poo. Gargoyle poo would be a very interesting find for my museum."
Lily opened the door to them when they arrived back at Grandmama's house.
"Put your feet on the mat,"
she said, wrinkling her nose in distaste.
"And who's got a bonfire going?"
Geoffrey and Emma went into the drawing room to see Grandmama, who was having a cup of tea.
"My goodness," she said. "What is that smell? It's as if someone's been letting off fireworks."
Her eyes went straight to Geoffrey's jacket.
Whatever have you got in your pockets, my boy? Geoffrey reluctantly extracted a bag of sweets from one pocket.
Now, come on, Geoffrey. You know I mean the other pocket.
It's baby swamp dragon poo for my museum, said Geoffrey defensively, as Emma helped him off with his jacket, while Grandmama extracted the charred ember with the sugar tongs and transferred the hot little nodule to an empty snuff tin.
He just laid it in my hand.
Well, let me tell you that you are going to wash those hands before you eat anything, my boy, said Grandmama. I shall also have to buy you a new jacket before we go to the Guild annual luncheon. She gave Geoffrey a severe look from top to bottom and continued,
Your late Uncle Cedric was very much the same. If I remember rightly, he had a very large collection of things that looked like other things. One of the largest such collections in the world, I've been given to understand.
She made a tut-tutting noise and added,
There's no doubt about it. Incongruity runs in this family. Now, I think you should take your new acquisitions down to your museum before it gets too dark.
Geoffrey made his way down to the end of the garden, where in the dusk he saw the shape of plain old Humphrey leaning on a shovel.
Hello, young man. What have you been up to today?
I've had a lovely time, said Geoffrey. I've spoken to a gargoyle, and I've been to a sweet shop. Would you like one? I visited the dragon sanctuary, and guess what I've got?
He opened the snuff tin and showed the contents to plain old Humphrey.
That smells a bit like dragons to me. When I was a boy, we had a little swamp dragon to light the fires, but one day my dad had a bit of an accident, and my mum wouldn't have them in the house after that.
It's my best poo so far, said Geoffrey. I must put it somewhere really safe so I can label it up tomorrow morning.
Later that evening, before he got into bed, Geoffrey remembered to take a few lumps of toffee from the crumpled paper bag and laid them out on the windowsill, just in case old Pediment the gargoyle were to drop by.